Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anybody has any cell phones or any other devices, if you put them on silent, it's not to disrupt the meeting. Appreciate it. And then, if you would stand and join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. As a republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Along now to item number three. This is discussion and possible action, the approval of the agenda for September the 20th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, can I get a motion for approval?
I'll move to approve the agenda for September 20th, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to approve the agenda for September the 20th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye, motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four. This is discussion and possible action. Approval of the minutes for August the 16th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
Move to approve the minutes for August the 16th, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
Move to second to approve the minutes for August 16th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye, motion. Moving along now to item number five. This is our consent agenda for today. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
Move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six. This is discussion only. We'll take no public comment. These are committee and staff reports. And let's start right over here with the sheriff. Sheriff Jerry.
Just two things real quickly. First, a reminder to everybody, this is week of street vibrations, so we're going to be inundated with motorcycles by the end of the week. Block off the street later on in the week, so that's just motorcycle parking. So use caution, be patient. The other thing, and I just spoke with the chair about this, I wasn't going to bring it up in a meeting, but I think I will anyway. It appears that the cooperative agreement with the Department of Agriculture and the horse groups has imploded. So while our efforts to remove the herd of horses from town have fallen apart, because of the infighting within the groups and with the Department of Agriculture. So I would suggest to anybody with issues with the horses to call the Department of Agriculture and tell them to take care of their horses.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Over at the Story County Senior Center, Nicole, do you have anything to report today? Over communications, Mr. Ballard.
Good morning, Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. Just wanted to kind of bring up something that we're working on in our office. In communications, we get a lot of the teletypes that are sent to us from around the country of police officers that are killed in the line of duty. We send a card out to every agency that this has happened. We sent out quite a bit in the last year and a half. In fact, just this year, these are some statistics I pulled this morning. This year to date, there's been 90 police officers killed in the line of duty. To look at a little bit more, there's been 61 firefighters killed in the line of duty, and there's been 28 canines so far that have been killed this year, all shot or whatever, killed in line of duty while some sort of bad thing happened to them, whether it's a car accident, a drowning, shot, ambush, whatever. There's been a lot of bad stuff happening. You know, especially in this area, we've been pretty fortunate. We haven't had a lot of police officers
cursed lately, but we have had a lot of firefighters, had a lot of the BLM firefighters killed in accidents or trees falling on this last year. It's been pretty crazy. So with that being said, one of my communication specialists, Danielle Mears, and I wish she could have been here today, but she had another engagement, couldn't make it. She has been working with the high school in putting together a little, I guess, gathering, if you will, that kind of honors public safety officials for the Saturday, October 8th high school football game in Smith Valley. Both schools are going to participate, and she's put a lot of word out to people trying to foster some positive attitude towards public safety. She's got a pretty good response so far. We're going to have quite a few different agencies responding to it, or coming up to it, I should say, to kind of do things with it. They're going to have a coin toss, you know, a moment of silence for everyone that's been killed in line of duty and everything. It's kind of a big event she's working on, and I just wanted to kind of make you guys aware of it, make everybody here aware of it, so if they're like to show up to it, they're more than welcome to do so. Again, this will be Saturday, October 8th. I believe kickoff is at noon, so I'll just give a little ceremony there for, again, for public safety. Everyone, all emergency personnel staff.
Did you say it was in Smith Valley or we're playing?
It's going to be here. Smith Valley is participating. It'll be a home game, and Smith Valley is also more than happy to participate in it. You know, everything going on, they decided it would be a good thing. So we've also reached out to a lot of the Lyon County officials, and I think they're going to be some people respond. Are you coming up with that as well? And that's pretty much all I have. Any other questions?
Any questions for Dave?
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Okay. All right. Representing the community chest and the library, Sean Griffin. Good morning.
Morning, Sean Griffin, community chest. Two quick announcements. Friday, October 28th, which is the day we're going to have our annual fundraiser for the library and the Calvus. This is trying to raise funds for Calvus and Perlman as well as our mother. We have two big things. If you heard that performance of Steve Lacks in April, they're going to be coming in, so is Jellybean. And the tickets are less this year than they were last year. They're only $40, and that's to help, as I said, both of the programs are running. And then I was on vacation for 3 weeks, so I haven't seen. I received a phone call from Pennington while I was gone, and they've offered to give us the final $50,000 to raise the match that we have, so we're all set for those. That just doesn't happen in the foundation world. So let me tell you, that was a remarkable day. So we're ready to go, and I'm thrilled.
All right. Let's break some ground.
Great. There's six of these for you. Same picture. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Representing the fire department today, Battalion Chief Ron Atkins. Nothing today? Okay. We're with the Tourism Commission, Danny Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. As we all know, one of the most important things that we can do as a community is education of our children. Not just in the classroom, but that's also life experiences. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had a pretty unique opportunity to work with a lot of groups here in Virginia City, a lot of kids, and provide a stage for them where they can be exposed to something that hopefully will be part of their life for a long time. And what I'm referring to is not only the camel races that we had 2 weeks ago for this last weekend's rodeo. We have a couple of Virginia City's finest participate in mutton busting. One of them was my grandson, the other one was Jim Chapman's son. First time I think they've ever been in a rodeo arena, and the smiles I think will last for quite a while. We also had coin dig for kids, again mutton busting. We had free rides from our sponsor from Dolan on the camels. We had community chest out there raising money for summer programs, and again, probably one of the most enjoyable 2 weeks, one of the hardest I've had to work 2 weeks that I've been here, but again, very enjoyable the last 2 weeks of events. Camel races, We're looking at, again, record crowds, very profitable for the whole town, I'm pretty sure. The event was, again, very, very successful in our new venue, in the Laguna Rodeo, and if we did nothing else but tell Northern Nevada what we got here now, mission accomplished. Eyes were open. That was one of the most unique productions that I've ever been a part of, and I think that we have a seed planted that's going to last for a long time here in Northern Nevada. So a lot of positive stuff. We will probably have to write a check, but we'll get that worked out here in the next month if bills come in. But Reno Rodeo Association couldn't have been more pleased. They had no idea what we had here. Most of them showed up at the old arena and took them calling for us to, where are you guys at? Brought them over, and they're like, wow, we had no idea. So a lot of things in the works, a lot of comments about wanting to do other things, partnerships for here going forward. So mission accomplished there. And then coming up, as the sheriff mentioned, Street Vibrations, Big Vendor Day is Thursday, as well as a large hooker run from Street Vibrations on Thursday that I'm going to kick it off. We'll have everybody set, probably looking at around 30 vendors usually. We get permitted for that event between mostly locals and in the street, and some come up from out of town. Nothing will set up. We'll put the barricades up for the cross streets, as the sheriff mentioned. Bike only parking, pretty much majority of C Street, and then let the party begin on Saturday as I'm checking out on that day. After that, we got outhouse races. The format should be very similar to what we've done in the past with the road being open and closed. The one thing about that event, it has grown considerably in the last couple of years. We added the Undy Run Relay. Lance, you're in charge of that one this year. and then from there, we've actually have had about 18 already pre-registered outhouses for that event. Normally, we get 18 on the day of, and we, trying to figure out how to put them in a format, but people are getting the word out, and we'll probably have to shut the registration off. We just too many to race. So great problem to have. So a lot of positive things happening, and I'll shut up. So, thanks.
Just a thought is I had a report came in yesterday that registration for Street Vibrations is way up significantly this year. So I think we can anticipate bigger crowds than we've had in the past, potentially.
If I may?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to also compliment the VCTC and Denny and Liquid Blue. I attended both camel races and the rodeo. Camel races, I think it's almost hard to believe we could make it better than we have in prior years, but there's always room to improve, and we certainly did, I think, considering that that was really only the second year the new arena's been the venue. It went off remarkably well, and keeping in mind that I'm a very nearby neighbor, resident-wise. But also, the rodeo was amazing. Marshall and I have argued over, how long it's been, 16, 18 years, whatever it's been a long time. And to hear the cowboys and cowgirls, herding their horses and their sheep and everything from the arena about 7 o'clock in the morning, actually, from my opinion, was a really cool sound. The drop-in parachute flag presentation was an amazing thing, probably for the entire town, whether you were down at the arena or not. And as I told staff this morning, I was prepared to chew his tail come Monday morning when we would turn around and have dare to mix cowpokes and bucking broncos and riding bulls with motorcycles. But it was an amazing event that, in my opinion, just went by way, way, way too fast. So congratulations. And again, I think it's important that we all know I've been watching events here and in other communities that I've lived in, South Lake Tahoe specifically, for many, many years. And the first couple, two or three, are always rocky. You can expect red ink. We're not necessarily in the business of making money ourselves. We're in the business of investing wisely. And I got to tell you, town was packed. The shuttles were an awesome. I rode the shuttle down and back. They were an awesome conveyance that I'd like to see used as a base for future events down there and throughout town. So great job.
Thanks. Pat, just one last thing. The BCTC Fishing District Market for Virginia City. nice to get people here. We look at special events as another way to do that, so you're exactly right. We're not looking to make money on it. We want the town to make money. We want it to snowball and get out there, and the advertising, the marketing, the word of mouth to go out and help us in the year's future. So again, I think it's money well spent, but we'll have a breakdown on that for everybody here in the next month or so.
Great. Thank you, Danny. All right. And also from today, from Lockwood, especially known as the River People, we have John and Mary Lee Miller here. Do you have anything to report today?
Yes.
Take care of the parks and the garden. First of all, I'd like to comment with Denny. This Hot August Nights up here this year was one of the best events we've ever been to. We've gone to Lake Tahoe. We always go to Sparks. And this year up here in Virginia City, I thought it was extremely run very, very well. So thank you, Denny. Now to the parks. Louise Perry Park has been used every weekend since June. Every weekend's been a family reunion. We had engagement parties. We had birthday parties. We had the 100-year centennial there for Lockwood, which the commissioners were up there. We thank you for coming up. We also had National Night Out, which we draw anywhere from 250 to 300 people throughout the day for that, and also for the 100-year anniversary. Now, some things I like to see done up at the park. One is I'd like to see a new sign put up there. It's getting deteriorated pretty bad. Louise Perry Park sign. It's getting very bad. Another thing is we have one light out across from the park that I have the number for you guys. I don't know who to contact. And another thing is the road coming up. I'd like to see another light put there that you guys have been so kindly to get up there for us. I have some ideas that's not going to cost nothing. I'd like to put some flower beds by the ballpark and also a flower bed in front of the sign. We have the equipment for it. We have the stuff. Now we'll get to the garden that Sherry was so nicely let me take care of this year, the community garden. I have 90% of the weeds out of there, but I'd like to get a front-end loader in there to help me level off the rest of the area, get rid of some of the weeds and rocks. And I want to thank whoever it was, I think it was your department, Mike, that came down there with a front-end loader and cleaned out the old outside of the park, outside of the garden. It really has enhanced that place tremendously. So, as all, I think you guys have done a great job for us down there in Lockwood area. And we appreciate it. And I thank you all for coming down to our events. So if I can get maybe some of those things taken care of, and I'll be real happy. All right?
Okay.
Any questions?
Your letter.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing that I really want to get done is the locks on the bathrooms. I like to have the locks in the bathrooms for when they lock it and they hit the handle, it automatically discharges and unlocks, which it doesn't do now. And I got a letter from a girl that lives in Lockwood. I lock my shoes in the bathroom just to get my feet wet by the sprinklers. I live at the top of the second row, number 11. Please bring them to me. So I'd just like to see that lock changed. See that lock changed for the bathrooms. I think it'd be for the better for everything. Because it seems like about 3 to 4 times a week I have to unlock the bathrooms. And it's not just the girls, guys. It's girls and boys both. So if we get those locks changed, I'd be real happy. Thank you. Is there any questions from commissioners or anybody?
John, on the light pole, why don't you go ahead and feed that information to me, Mike, and I at the conduits, and then we'll try to extract out a list from Vanessa, you know, and get those into the queue, the rest of the projects that you mentioned.
Yeah, okay. One light that's on the road coming up from Rainbow Bend, because at 6:30 in the morning when the kids are going to the bus, it's very dark. And I want to thank also the Sheriff's Department, because we used to have a lot of speeders going up and down that road, Prairie Ranch Road. maybe one in 100 now. They've, I have talked to Jerry, and I've also talked to John Michael or whoever's on duty, and I'll give them the telephone number, I'll give them the license plates if I get it, and the car and the vehicle and where they went. And then they talk to them. They may not give them a ticket because they can't see it themselves, but the speeding has really tremendously lowered. So I will get that to you, Pat, okay? Is there any other questions?
Any questions, John? No.
Again, thank you for coming up to our guys.
I'd like to thank you, John, for all the hard work that you did down there. The park and the gardens wouldn't be where they are today if it wasn't from you and the help of your fellow residents down there.
So it's enjoyable that you can see the advantage of the kids playing and the park being used.
Yeah, it's come a long way. It's terrific. Thank you again. Over at Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. The Senior Center here in Virginia City is hosting a flu shot clinic September 29th. That's next Thursday from 9 to noon. All are welcome to attend. Nevada Health Centers will be giving those shots that day. As I understand, they accept most insurances, and no one will be turned away for the inability to pay. So, again, September 29th from 9 to 12. On October 8th, the Mark Twain Community Center is hosting a health fair. That's from 9 to 3:30. Please save the date and plan to join us for this event. We're lucky to have the Nevada Health Center's Mammo Van there for that event. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so when we locked that in, it was pretty good, and it should be a draw. They've got a lot of different vendors coming in with health and wellness information. This weekend, the Comstock Fire Museum, Liberty Engine Company, has been invited to the 150th celebration of the San Francisco Fire Department. Museum trustee Jack Greenhall will be bringing down our 1879 Clapp and Jones steamer to San Francisco for a big event they have going on at the wharf there. So there'll be the horses are coming. They'll be pulling the steamer in a parade along the Embarcadero Saturday morning. Various other events showcasing this old antique fire equipment. So we're very happy to be involved in this event. Some good news in the Mark Twain community. A couple weeks ago, we had a group that was down at the center on a Saturday morning, the Comstock Crawlers. They meet down there once a month or something. And they had, I don't know if it was one of their members or someone else, go into cardiac arrest. We have AEDs, automatic external defibrillators, located at various county buildings. The Mark Twain Community Center is one of those. Quick action of residents and bystanders. They got that AED out, started CPR, worked with the fire department, and by the time they got that patient loaded onto care flight, he was talking. So we're very happy to see those units in the communities, people who know how to use them and do what they're intended to do, save lives. So very happy to hear that. So that's all I have.
Are those units reusable?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you just have to replace the pads, which those are the that go on your chest. Batteries have to be replaced from time to time, but yeah, you can use them. I mean, they don't last forever by any means, but they're there when we need them. Right. So they replaced the pads and checked everything out after it was used.
Right. And I think Commissioner McGuffey, thanks to a grant that Sherry got, we are deploying five more, mm-hmm. Around in strategic locations. The Gold Hill Depot, the new event arena and fairgrounds and other locations as well. So, and then we do have a rigid, I think now overseen by our director of security, but our annual inspections and renewals of things, the batteries and those types of things. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Next on our list here is the Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
Thank you.
Public Works Director, Mike Nevin.
Ann always gives me 3 minutes, but Gallagher says I got 2 today.
I'm going to make it quick today.
Just some project updates that we've been involved with. Of course, the Cape Slurry Seal will finish up the next couple of days out in the Virginia City Highlands doing the prep work in anticipation of that. We're doing some crack sealing that needed to be accomplished, and understanding that the Highlands homeowners is down some equipment failures and manpower-wise, so we decided to step up and help out on their section of roadway out there, so we get a good job in the end. The chip seal portion of the projects will start next week. Tuesday and Wednesday, they have Lockwood and Tri-Center scheduled. They may be able to do that all on Tuesday. Of course, in Lockwood is a section of Canyon Way from the Truckee River Bridge to the Cattle Guard, and then a trial of Denmark in the upper section of Venice to PetSmart. The Highlands is scheduled to start on September 29th, Jack, which is a Thursday. Maybe you could
I'll put some kind of notification
on their blog for us, if you will. The chip portion of the project goes pretty rapidly, and you can drive on it pretty much right after they get it laid out, so that's a good thing. The slurry portion of those projects will begin on October 10th, so a couple of weeks following. And then the slurry is what takes a little bit more time to set in place, if you will. So there'll be some traffic, you know, delays in some of those areas that the crews are working in, but, you know, that's to be expected. So by the end of October, they'll be out of our hair altogether, and we'll have a complete project on, you know, over 10 miles of roadway countywide. So it's a good thing. The siphon line under the I-580 freeway, the new pipeline, is in place underneath the road. They sleeved it through last week. They'll start this week on working to do the prepare for the tie-in, which is anticipated to be next week. So we'll shut down the siphon line probably on Monday, and by the end of next week we hope to have it that new line in service, and then fire back up. So that's progressing nicely and on track, so that's a good thing. The park project here in Virginia City that was funded by a grant through the State of Nevada Park Service, it's federally funded monies, that'll begin this week. On the 22nd, we have the contractor coming in that's going to do the paver portion of that project, and then the playground equipment will start being installed probably next Monday on the 26th. So that project should move fairly rapidly as well, and we should be able to wrap that up by the end of October or before. So that's pretty much it. So see you under 3 minutes today.
Mike? On the chip seal for the Highlands, that's Thursday the 29th, should that be done that day?
Yeah, that chip will all be done that day. They'll do one lane, you know, and then have controlled traffic on the other, and then move to the other side.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. From the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. There's been, as I do kind of midway through the audit, I'm going to give you a little progress report. I think the audit is going very well. This is our certified audit. I don't anticipate any problems for our for being submitted to you probably before November 30th, which is a statutory date, although we can get a little reprieve on that. There are two things that are out there that's going to take probably some time. And they have to do with the Government Accounting Standards Board, which we call GASB. First relates to GASB 45, which relates to what they call OPEB, which is other payments in lieu of benefits that are to our retirees that we have been paying for quite a while, which is some medical, some dental, and some vision. What we have to do is we have to hire an actuarial to go through those. That will calculate for all of our employees what the potential liability of that should be. This could be a large number. I don't want to throw anything out right now until I can get a preliminary, but it is something that we now have to do. We didn't do it before because it wasn't required. Now it is a requirement, so now we're going to have to book the asset. The other one is called GASB 77, in which we have to now disclose abatements on real and personal property. So that is brand new. It is also this year. So depending upon the extent of this and the information that I can receive will be whether or not we can do it by district. We can do it as a total or by some sort of a subject matter that is due to come out fairly soon. Or we've got to list every one of them, which in our case is very extensive, and I see no reason to put that in footnotes of our financial statement, but we have really no idea at this point in time. So those are the two particular ones that there are going to be two additional footnotes that we're going to have this year that we've never had before, which are going to take a little bit of time. I wanted to mention this because it kind of gives you what is out there on the financing trail. I went to a meeting for the local government finance, and what they were doing was discussing leases. Now, there's going to be another GASB pronouncement that's going to deal strictly with leases, and what's a capital lease and what's not a lease. We don't have that problem here since a lot of our leases are really capital leases, and we have chose in the past to go through medium-term financing or through bond council, which obviously is a little different. What essentially has happened is the Community College of Elko County decided that they wanted to build. And so what they did, instead of going through the conventional means of financing, went to a nonprofit. This nonprofit company built their building and leased it back to them for 30 years. So this is called a sale and lease back. The particular thing with this sale and lease back was that it was exempt from prevailing wage. Problem is that at the end of the term of the lease, it is given to the community college, which now makes it a capital lease, which should have been disclosed as part of taxation, which they are kind of a little upset about. And the people who are in the nonprofit business of this really don't think that should be because it's a lease and it's over an experienced period of time. So that's something that has come out where you have a niche company as, i.e., a nonprofit doing business alongside the banks and whatever. And the applicability of that or the taxability of that or the discoverability of that is still up in the air, and we won't know about that till probably next month or the month after. But I thought it was interesting to note that there is some creative financing going on even in the state of Nevada. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Mr. Gallagher? No.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Okay, Director of Planning and Human Resources, Ms. Rossman.
You're not carrying as much paper as you usually do.
I'll be sure to add more next week.
People know.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I just want to give you two updates. The parking lot to the south of us here, that project is moving along nicely. We had our pre-bidding mandatory meeting for contractors that are interested in bidding on that project last week. We're really grateful to have 12 people come, 12 different contractors show interest in that project. That will definitely help increase some of the competition between them as far as the bidding process, and will probably result in a little bit better of a quality product as far as what ultimately comes of the bid. It should be a pretty short project. We're looking at about a 90-day construction schedule on that once the bid is awarded. It'll probably be about 30 additional days after that if a bid alternate comes as we want for paving that, to pave it now. If it doesn't, then we pave it a little bit later. But nevertheless, as a summary of the project, it's a comprehensive parking lot project that will have some pretty general landscaping, some street lamps and other things like that to complement the courthouse. And it's also not just a parking lot. It'll be a multi-purpose center that we can bring some tourism events and farmers markets and things like that to, and be able to use it for the benefit of a whole community in addition to parking. And then what we'll be working on during construction is with the contractor is trying to schedule in some parking arrangement along B Street, particularly with early voting, regular voting if the project is still going at that time, as well as court, trying to create as much parking along B Street and other places as possible so there's little as disruption as possible. Last but not least, the Lands Bill, the Restoring Story County Act. I'm still working with our team and the Bureau of Land Management, and I will have to commend them. Working as high, Pat and I went and saw Director John Roos up at the BLM District Office. He definitely heard our concerns with as far as how do we engage the process of transferring that land, really in accordance with BLM's established procedures. The BLM wants to work with us, but there's some language challenges. They're saying we want to do this, but we need certain clarification on how to make that happen. They're cooperating, they're working with us, and we've had two meetings since that time in getting language clarified as needed to be able to convey that land from the Bureau of Land Management to Story County and then Story County to the respective property owners throughout the area. It'll be a bit of a process, but we definitely have some outline of what we should do, particularly in Washington, as well as with our local and state folks from the Bureau of Land Management on how to get this done. It's very optimistic, though. And that is it.
Any questions for Austin?
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Austin.
Awesome.
District Attorney Langer?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. County Manager Whitman? A
few things today, actually just two. Although I do want to come back to the parking lot and stress that we're going to try hard, but there's never a good time to do a project of this size. It's amazing how comfortable and reliant you become on something you didn't have even 2 years ago, specifically all the dirt that's over there. But this will be a disruption. It'll be a disruption to the residents. It'll be a disruption to the employees. And it's short-term pain for long-term gain, in my opinion. We need to get this project done for the good of all. So we'll work through that, and we'll try to park all of our county vehicles off site as much as we can and go from there. Also, unless I hear from the one particular commissioner that owns a residential property two blocks up from us, I probably won't be calling the Department of Agriculture, as Sheriff Antonaro has encouraged you all. I'd like to call the governor's chief of staff, Senator Settlemyer, and Assemblyman Wheeler. I've got multiple emails out to two officials in MDOT or in AG, including the director, Barbie, who couldn't be bothered to respond. So I will be basically trying to hit the launch button on this thing and tell them, you know, we've waited long enough and spent enough money on street sweepers and everything else to try to mitigate this. Lastly, if you haven't driven down 342, look below Gold Hill and above Silver City in the last week or so, you need to. In my opinion, it's a thing of beauty. I had asked Comstock Mining to be here so that they knew I was going to talk about them. And unfortunately, you know, an invitation extended at what, Jack, about 6 o'clock last night. They couldn't make it. They had other commitments. But I want you to think back 18 months ago, if you would. We had a hell of a mess on our hands.
And a lot of finger-pointing was done, and a lot of doubt was casted by some in the community that indicated, one, this was caused by Comstock Mines, which was never not only proven but pretty satisfactorily disproven, and probably more importantly, that Comstock Mine should be held to pay, which we really didn't think was necessary or required that they have to be paid, but they did. And there was even doubt as to whether or not they ultimately would pay. And I'm here to tell you they paid almost $3 million for what they did. That included capping the shaft, the Silver Hills shaft, rerouting a portion of 342 with a wider, safer roadway. And I got to tell you, down there, I think what they've created is almost a thing of beauty out of what was just plain raw landscape. I mean, the riprapping and the rock and the hidden culverts and the creek bed for runoff, all that's been accomplished, I think, with minimal inconveniences when you really look at it. Yeah, we all had to drive the truck route for a couple months or 3 months, but it's almost done, and we owe them a big debt of gratitude for their community spirit and support that they did. I've never seen a collaboration between a private party, NDOT, and to a very limited degree, actually, the county. They do have a few little fixes. When I talked to Scott last night, a little wowie in there where the sealant drops off just a bit, and I think they're going to smooth out the both ends of that where you hit the original pavement a little bit more. But I kind of just wanted the perspective of where we were 18 months ago, and what we have now is pretty amazing, and it's amazing thanks to Comstock Mine.
I think another little benefit of when we had to use the truck route was that NDOT realized that they need to put more guardrails on that road. So that kind of brought light to that, too. So there's another added benefit.
That's my report, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, great. Thanks, Pat. County Clerk, see it?
You're going to be one of these days. All right, that concludes the...
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't?
GSM.
Oh.
Sorry. You were asked.
Okay, come on up, Charlie.
I'm bringing my partner at this time. We have a presentation to make to Stork County.
Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. This is Larry Huddleston. I'm Marilyn Miller. We're from the River District. We have a presentation to make this morning before I give you the report on the community building down there. We had a 100-year celebration in Lockwood for Lockwood's 100 year. It was on the 16th of July, because it was 1916 when Carl Lockwood moved into the area and bought the Lago Mesino Ranch and presented to set up housekeeping there. We made the promise through We Care. We belong to We Care. Larry and I have spent more than 40 hours apiece since the 16th of July going through approximately 800 pictures that we have on his computer and his equipment. I'm only going to take 40% of this credit. He gets 60 because it was his equipment. We have come up with a picture album to present to you, probably to be used in your new museum here. And it is a picture book and verbiage of what goes on in our end of the county that we all live in.
It starts with a whole history, starting with the grant deed to where we are right now, including the modifications on the senior center and
the garden.
And it's a summary, but I think we hit the highlights for everything on it. And we're both very proud of it. It's 38 pages. It's not a lot, but when you go to put a book together,
it takes a lot
of work.
And we are going to make more than one disc, 800 pictures, it takes several, that we're going to give Sherry so that she can pull some of these out that we don't have in here, or maybe even duplicates that she likes. It doesn't matter. So I don't know who wants this. Who wants to be in charge of this?
I will for now with permission, since we're and I think it will be a fabulous. Thank you.
Let me. We did the best we could for some of the research. If you find any errors,
ignore them.
Please.
Don't even bring them up, please.
Really, it's very, very nicely done.
Can we get you now to move to the Highlands and then down to Mark Twain? And we've got a fairly good jump start on VC.
We talked a little bit about this on the way up here, and I think you'll find that it's got enough detail to make it good, but it doesn't have every little detail. You don't want that because you don't want... you don't want to bore people. People will be able to page through this thing and get the highlight. I think it'll prompt a lot of research on stuff. We cover everything from floods to the garden to everything. So it's a pretty comprehensive overview of Lockwood's history.
Just to give you a quickie on it, Carl Lockwood bought that piece of property, $10,000 in gold coin only. So we found out a lot of little details.
That's in the book. I see it.
Yes, and what we need to also tell you, anybody wants one of these personal books for their own personal self, you call us, we can get it to you, but there is a price. It's not that pricey.
It's not bad. We think the cost is in binding. And we think if we go in and get, tell them we want 50 of them, we can get a better price. It costs us about $21 to bind it.
Just to bind it?
Just to bind it. And the paper is, it's a high quality paper, so there's some cost. We're thinking somewhere around $34 is what we'll be able to sell it. And that will give us a little bit toward We Care and our time on it. But I think it's a pretty good deal.
We're not trying to sell anything. We just want you to know if someone says, can we ever get one, you can get one.
Yeah. I want one. If I may, too, I think I'm going to ask Sherry, just on the fly here, if you can work with Jen Chapman. Jen's got resources. Our recorder has resources in terms of binding
Really?
Well. Maybe we can find some options that we can help drive that cost down and increase the contribution to We Care a little bit at the same time.
We're not being greedy. We're just trying to make sure that we don't want to cost us any money.
This is exactly the type of thing that we hoped for when we started the museum concept downstairs. So trust me, it will be there, and be there proudly. So.
Good.
Yeah, we're very proud of our work. It takes time, and you want to give up, but you just keep pushing.
I know where all the fold-up chairs are in Larry's house when I have to get one to sit by the computer with him. That's how, it's like we spent hours there.
Yeah.
I bet. And you have an update on the community center as well?
Yes, I do. So I'll do my update on the community center. For our community center down there, I don't think I've even been here to tell you that we painted with the help of the sailors from Fallon, painted the inside of that building. And then right after it was painted, Sherry and I got together one afternoon and replaced all the switch plates and the plug plates with brand new ones, so it looked really nice with our new paint. And that was at no expense to the county. Then we had a new floor put in the kitchen, which we really needed, and a new subfloor, and that's great. That was an expense to the county. The next thing we're going to tackle is a 10-foot section of cupboards along the south wall in the kitchen, top and bottom with a countertop, a 10-foot countertop. That's because we have a lot of things we need to store in that building for different people that use it on an ongoing basis every single month. That will be at no expense to the county. So those are the things that we've covered since the last time I've been here. And those are the things we're going to cover next. We have Pause to Read twice a month in there. We have an every Thursday afternoon card game with several tables of people playing cards. We have bunco once a month. We have always got birthday parties and things going on in that building. So we need to put our stuff away in these new cupboards that are only 10 feet, and we're going to have locks installed on them and assigned to different club entities that use it. So that's my report.
Perfect.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary Lee. And Larry, also, you? Thank you. All right. I think now that we've concluded the committee and staff reports, and we'll move on now to item number 7. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is the update from staff regarding the ongoing zip code issue.
I'd like to act surprised that I didn't know this was on there, but ongoing means, by my count now, at least since the late 1990s, so we're rapidly approaching our 20th anniversary of trying to get this resolved. I will tell you, every day more and more, after Austin mentioned the public lands bill and now working on the U.S. Postal Service, the phrase, it takes an act of Congress, should never be taken lightly or humorously. Thank goodness we thought to engage the services of retired Congressman John Porter and the Porter Group. He has a small but very effective and, most importantly, very tightly connected team in Washington, D.C. And the issues, of course, as we all know them to be, are the misallocation of sales tax revenue and the increased cost that our businesses and ourselves and our customers, our consumers, pay when zip codes are not accurately accounted for. We've looked at this from a number of avenues. I'd like to pass that down when you're done. We've looked at this from a number of avenues, taken a multiple front attack on this. Locally, we've worked with the Department of Taxation. As you know, we have an interlocal agreement, a memorandum of understanding with them that allows us, through Hughes' office and Dean's office, to feed them various items for spot audits. We're trying to get our act together so that we can better utilize that to determine what is material. There are not a lot of single projects that hit any parameters that are currently important. But I will segue off for just a minute and tell you, I saw some good news today, at least good news from my perspective, is there's currently a strong majority, 55 to 45 or somewhere in there, in favor of the Washoe County school tax bill. I think that's huge in a number of ways. It's certainly huge for education, because as Lance can attest, I think it's not a single site developer anymore that doesn't sit there and say, what are you doing for talent, as the gentleman from Catalonia so well spoke, you know, where's your workforce development? So that's, and that's where it is housed, is down there. So that's, I think, a strong favorable indication. But it's also a warning shot that says, you know, now the differential between us and Washoe County is going to be even larger. So all the more reason for us, in the interest of fairness and making sure the proper amounts are assessed, are given their appropriate measures. So we're working with taxation, but there's a summary that I provided not only to the commission for the public record, but they're available on the back table as well. This was done at the request from me to our Porter Group, and it kind of gives you the ins and outs of where we currently are. I'm not going to regurgitate the whole thing. I'm just going to tell you that there are bright moments and then there are dark moments in this. And if you cut to the second paragraph, there's now a House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and they want to introduce a postal reform bill. The bill's already been given a number. It's H.R. 5714, the Postal Reform Act of 2016. As a way to address a number of issues in the USPS. After learning of the bill last spring, John and Dan got together with that committee and Congressman Chavez from Utah to discuss if we might have some applicability in there. And thereafter, we received notice that language had been added into the bill that calls for the creation of a single unique zip code for Story County. Being the eternal pessimist when it comes time to working with federal agencies, it doesn't take long to digest one sentence in a bill, particularly when they guide you right to it. And it's got problems right out of the chute. We learned in the public lands bill, you know, that the devil's in the details, not in the words. It's in the congressional intent. It's in the laws that these types of bills intertwine with, i.e., Congress can't tell the BLM to go ahead and break the laws that are on the books just by simply saying, go do it. I see the single unique zip code for Story County as potentially a problem that's already solved. We have one right here in Virginia City, 89440, but that doesn't mean that the folks in Lockwood, the Commerce in Try, and everywhere else will have any resolution on this matter, given the way that wording might be interpreted by the Postal Service. I do want to stress right now that, you know, I do emphasize Try. The rest of the retail that are done through the Highlands, through the River District residents, through Mark Twain, those are important, but those are not the material impact ones. It's the money on the table for the supplies and materials that are going on out in Tri right now. The bill's got a slim but fair chance of passing this year. And one of those reasons why is there are some corporate giants, including CVS Healthcare, eBay, and Amazon, and others that are pushing this. And we have raised our concerns about the out clauses or the weaknesses or the ambiguities with both the Postal Service and with the committee. The Postal Service, by the way, when they asked how they might implement that, as you'll read in there, unsurprisingly, they did not want to pigeonhole themselves into any one answer, so they responded ambiguously. Typical federal agency, in my opinion. So we took it back to the committee, and we're working on trying to fine-tune it, even if it only identifies, you know, the land masses, the GIS coordinates out of Tri. And we've gotten pretty creative with this. We've even talked about, well, what if we service Tri from 89440 here in Virginia City? And the Postal Service was not real warm and fuzzy on that one. So it's going through a number of processes to see if it can pass this year. And I think this gives you probably the fairest glimpse of what the sausage-making process really is. Back in D.C., it's at the House Ways and Means and Energy Commerce Committee. What that has to do with the postal zip codes, I have no idea, but it's there. And then you have to work this bill in both chambers, so it's also being worked in the Senate in their infinite wisdom through the Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. There are individuals that are definitely in favor of this bill, important individuals. And keeping in mind, a lot of this could very well change on November 8th, depending on who controls both chambers back in D.C., as well as potentially the seat of the president themselves. So I guess in summary, you know, in the second page or the back page of what you have, you know, we've got a great congressman from Utah, Chairman Chavez, and House leadership pushing very hard on this bill. Senator Reid, his staff has actually told Chairman McBride and myself and others, Senator really wants to see this done as his legacy to Story County before he leaves office later this year or early next year. And that pretty much is the most detailed status I think you would want. Any questions?
Actually, a lot of good details in here.
That's what we paid Porter for.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to answer questions from the audience or anybody as well.
Any public comment regarding that staff report? Okay. Thank you, Pat. Let's go ahead and move on to item number 8 now. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Mr. McGuffey?
Yes. First, I would like to talk about St. Mary's Art Center. You know, two months ago, we had, asked for a mattress drive donation, and we got a great response. And as of this week, the mattress drive is officially over, complete. They got all their mattresses. Everybody's really happy, and they want to send their thanks through me to the commissioners who helped back me on this and all of you out there who donated for this effort. So thank you very much. Everybody's really tickled over that. Next would be the V&T Railway Commission, the commission of the reconstruction of the V&T Railway. We had a long meeting last night, and our county manager was there with me, and Hugh Gallagher, Denny was there, the whole, it was a good show for the story team. And as you know, at the last meeting, we announced that we have submitted a BDR, a bill draft request, to shrink the board from 9 to 5. And we see, with that in mind, we would be putting our tourism directors from Carson City and here on that board. And it's a tourist train, so we need the tourism departments to focus on making it better, getting these events clashing or, meshing together. And we think that would be a real big plus for to get the ridership up. Right now, the ridership is averaging 110, I think, a trip, and it'll carry a train right now will carry about 144, so it's not paying its way to speak of. I think maybe half a dozen times it actually showed that it made some money, but it didn't include all the overhead related to running that train. But anyway, as last night's meeting, we had a public roundtable discussion on ways to promote a more public awareness and increase the ridership. Many believe the Story County BDR is a good thing. They see it as a way to break the current mold that's been there and kind of start moving forward. So there was a real positive on that. Of course, the BDR is a BDR. We don't know if it's going to pass or not. It looks good. We're getting good feedback, but it doesn't mean it's going to pass. So nothing's really going to happen until that washes out. Story County, our quarter cent tax. Well, it got to the point where the commission was just taking that money and throwing it in their budget and using it as well, when there was actually a clause that they have to ask, formally request that money and explain exactly what the request is for. That has never happened. And so it just goes into a hole and we don't know where it goes. So we've been holding on to it for about a year now. And it's accumulated up to about $592,000. And that money was always intended to hopefully be spent on the V&T on this end of the line. So, and it hasn't been happening. So I kind of started questioning that a while back, and now we came to a head. And then they just continued their treasurer. He just kept continuing putting this $300,000 out there that we were going to pay him. It's like, where did you get this from? But so anyway, we finally came to a head, and we've agreed to release $200,000 right now to help get their engine number 18 running. It's right now in Tom Gray's yard. It's torn apart, and he said it won't cost more than $200,000 to finish it. And that way they have a new train basically ready for the next season. So that's where that stands. The rest of the money, we're still sitting on it because we're trying to work out a new MOU on how we're going to work together on this railway. We want it to succeed. It's a great thing for the town. So that's kind of where that stands. The other things that we accomplished last night is, well, we were forced to accomplish, was we adopted a bridge and structure management program, which was directed to by Congress and the Federal Railway Commission or Administration. So that's basically, we've always been doing this. This is just a formality part of it, with doing it their way to speak of. Okay, I'll put this as last. I'll let Pat weigh in on anything. But as far as my last comment on the V&T is, the marketing report revealed that the Polar Express, they started selling tickets August 1st. And so far, the VIP tickets are 80% sold. The coach tickets are 40% sold. And normally these are sold out by this time, but they've added more runs. So that's why there's tickets left. So I would encourage you all to try to at least do that once. It's really something, and it'll help the cause too. Yes, thank you. Would you like to add to that, Pat?
Just a few things. You know, it was an interesting meeting, and I have two takeaways. One is, and you know, I'm pretty blunt. I would say this to Rail Commissioner Millard, Chairman Millard, and any others is. I think we got, Hugh and I, and Jack's probably lived it for the last many months, but we got firsthand confirmation as to the lack of quality, the lack of disciplines in their financial accounting. It was, I made an ugly joke earlier about the sausage factory in Washington, D.C., and from a financial management side of this house, I don't think really anyone knew which end was up or where they were. In fact, I don't think it was patently apparent. Reports were being asked to be approved that didn't even exist. There really are two different accounts here, if you will, an enterprise fund and a commission fund, with a lot of confusion. So that'll be something, again, we hope to much more aggressively and actively get involved with. It is up to the commission. You know, we can only offer. But in the end, I think, you know, it's an offer that will make them more cost-effective. If we take over most, if not all, of the financial management of the commission and the enterprise fund, which is basically their operations fund. Most importantly, I think that I came away with was a really good feeling of the fact that for those of you that attended our last meeting here where we discussed the BDR, it got a little impassioned. There was a lot of pushback that I don't think we had anticipated because Commissioner McGuffey and I had meetings with the chair and with the program director, so it kind of caught us a little bit off guard and I think, you know, was a red flag, a warning flag. None of that existed yesterday to the best of my observations. You know, I don't think there was a single person on that board that expressed outright opposition to it. And those included individuals whose positions would go away. I can tell you Commissioner McGuffey and I have talked to every local government at an individual level, either through their county manager and their rail commission designee, in various and sundry shapes and forms. All are supportive of the concept of the BDR. One county said, get me the heck off of here. Another, we don't even know why we're on here. So I would tell you, I think, you know, we've got a positive outlook going into this process. But most importantly, I think now what we have that wasn't here at our last meeting up here was I think we have a cooperative and willing chair and team that is looking for those solutions to co-market and to do those types of things that we can do collaboratively between the VCTC and the Carson City CBB and the Rail Commission. You know, they acknowledge they've got two different websites out there sometimes that compete with each other. That's crazy. And so I think with these groups that and the professionalism and experience that they bring to the table, we hopefully should be able to, begin to make this a better project day by day. Will it eventually make money? Probably not. I go back to the rodeo or any other event. A lot of times government's job is not necessarily to make money, it's to spend the money wisely with the most bang for our buck, the most return, the best return on our investment. And if we can do that and provide, as Dwight says, more than just a train ride through things, that additional things. I took Dwight down to the Gold Hill Depot last week, and he was just enamored with it. He says, why aren't we using this? So I think you'll see that integrated more into the rail side of the house for events. They've got melodramas. They've got wine trips. And in essence, even though I'm quick to bash Polar Express as having no benefit to Virginia City, those records yesterday, to the detail that I saw them for the first time ever, clearly make it apparent that Polar Express keeps this project afloat. If it wasn't for Polar Express, it would have been dead years ago. So yes. That's my observation.
Yes.
And I will tell you, right out of the chute, three people on the commission, specifically the chairman, Dwight Millard, Mayor Kroll from Carson, and Commissioner McGuffey were absolutely spot on. I thought maybe there were three pit bulls in the room that were going after the lack of quality on the financial statements. So it was a joy to watch that part of the commission in action yesterday.
It's the budget and the financial reports. Of course, the treasurer, he doesn't know what's in the financial reports. Where you always continually refer to the bookkeeper, and then the bookkeeper did bring all the forms. He's talking about numbers that aren't in front of us, and I have to give most of the credit to Dwight for putting the going after them, because this was getting old. Nobody could read their reports, for one thing, and much less what's not there. So, I think he'll come a little more prepared next time.
Don't be so sure. Anything else, Commissioner McGuffey?
No.
Commissioner Gilman.
Just a quick comment. I thank you, and this is a wonderful book that Mary Lee and Larry put together. I had an opportunity in July when they had this centennial and reviewed a video presentation somewhat along these lines that Mr. Huddleston had created. And I thought that was fascinating and well done. And one of the thoughts that comes to me is for the museum that we're doing downstairs, that the book would be a wonderful addition, but I can see a continuous reel that would play within that presentation area that would highlight the book. I think that folks would stand and look at that going through faster than they might take and thumb through the book totally. But
you can also make a video of that exact book.
Yeah. I think it's just wonderful, and thank you so very much from the community for presenting something like this. And well done and very timely. You know, Lockwood has a strong position here in Story County, and you all are certainly leading the charge in the developing everything down there. Thank you for all of that.
Anything new at the park to bring to light?
So, is anything new at the park? Yeah, I'm not exactly, when I have these moments and opportunities and time to kind of address what's going on, so much of the stuff that's happening is under control of an NDA. And so, you know, you can't talk about it specifically, but I guess from a high level standpoint, yes, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center has really found its place on the world stage. Pat referred back to Catalonia, and that's a driving economic force out of Spain that has been relocating to Silicon Valley over the last dozen years or so. And so they're now looking at expanding that vision. And so that could entail anywhere from 12 to 15 new high-tech, biotech companies that are looking at a relocation to Story County, and specifically have identified. We're working with the very first company right now that would go along that way. And I think from a high level, what I'll share with everyone here, we have right now, you guys, 5,000 acres in play, And what I mean by that is either letters of intent or contracts being negotiated or serious discussions that address over 5,000 acres of possible transactions between now and the end of this year. And interestingly enough, they're with users. They're not with folks that are wanting to develop something. And so we have 2,500 acres with one company that we've all been watching and working the last year, and that's very close at this point. And another 2,000 acres with a company that's already out there that's in an incredible expansion mode. And behind that, 750 acres and 670 acres. And you guys, it's just unprecedented in what's happening right now. And so I'm anxious to have the Christmas party and be able to to celebrate with everybody exactly what's happening. But our little Story County is on the world stage. We're certainly impacting and driving everything that's happening in Northern Nevada. And so now and then I look back and I think that a lot of folks want to say Reno because, you know, if you're talking to the world at large out there, they'll talk about, well, we're going to move up to Reno. We're going to go to Reno, you know, Reno. And so I like to remind everybody when I get out and have a public opportunity, you're really not going to Reno. You're coming to Story County and you're locating in Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And so that sometimes gets lost in the translation. But I can just tell you, we have so much to be proud of. The leadership of this county and the folks that have shepherded this through everything that's going on. It's an incredible story in the globe today. So, yeah, there's a lot going on out there, Marshall. I'm glad you asked.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got a couple of things to talk about. We met yesterday with Walker and Associates. They're two of our paid lobbyists for the state legislature, gearing up for the 2017 legislative session. So far, there's about 450 bill draft requests that are already in print, not all to the public yet, because these things are confidential until they have hearings and things like that. But a lot of issues on water. The USGS come up here doing their presentation, and that there's a lot of it goes right along those lines about junior water rights, senior water rights, those type of issues. There should be a lot of water bills that are going to be coming out this year. There's going to be a lot of things coming on taxation, on the property tax issue, because our system is so convoluted with the 3 and 8% caps. They're not going to go ahead and revamp the whole system. They're going to try to put some fixes in at the top end, at the bottom end. And there's going to be a whole lot of horse trading going on to try to figure out how this goes on. But just wanted to remind everybody that Story County, we're partnered up with Carson City, Lyon County, and Douglas County. We're a four-county coalition, so we call it our legislative coalition, meeting with our lobbyists. And of course, Bum Hess is also one of our lobbyists. He was in attendance along with Austin Osborne. So right now we're only meeting about once a month, and then once we get closer and into session, we'll be meeting every other week to make sure that we're right on top of anything that will affect Story County and its residents. So moving on to the next item, the tourism. This has just been an action-packed summer for special events, kicking off, you know, with the St. Patrick's Day, with the Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry and the Parade of Leprechauns. And we're going to go all the way through Red Run, you know, which goes in about three more weeks. So these last couple events, camel races, probably one of the best turnouts for people participating in the event in the last several years. The town was just packed. I mean, we need a couple more parking lots like the one we've got next door here to accommodate everybody.
Do you own any more?
No, I don't. Thank you very much. The rodeo, because I attended these events, the rodeo was great. It was it's so professionally run now compared to how things have been in the past. And that's why we need professional promoters that we use today instead of volunteers. It's good to have your volunteers, But to put on a promotion and a production the way that it's done, we have to have professional individuals involved. Anyway, all good, all well. I'm going to piggyback back to the railroad for just a moment here. I appreciate the efforts of Commissioner McGuffey at trying to waddle through the mud that the Railroad Commission has put together down there. But on a better note than that, when you look at the Gray family, you look at what Bob Gray has created starting in 1974-75, recreating the short line between Virginia City and Goldville. And at his side, all those years, his wife, Ardell, recently passed away. They've been married over 60 years. Ardell was 92. Their son, Tom, actually operates the train today, and daughter, Kim, goes ahead and has the railroad store in town called All Aboard Gifts. So they've got a real connection to Virginia City, I think originally from Orinda, California, in the East Bay, over there. We wouldn't have the train today if it wasn't for the Gray family. There wouldn't have even been a consideration to extend it to Carson City. It's been done so. It always takes a real strong partner to go ahead and make it happen. And so, anyway, our condolences to Bob and his children for the loss of their mother. So, that concludes my report. We're going to move on now to item number 9. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. Provide an overview of the State of Nevada Community Development Block Grant Program, CBGD, program for the upcoming 2017 grant application cycle. Ms. Nevin.
Thank you, Commissioner McBride. Sherry Nevin, for the record. This is an annual thing that I come before the Commission to present. This is the first in a series of 3 informational meetings that were required as conditions of the Community Development Block Grant Program. I'll refer to it in the future as CDBG. It's a mouthful. The purpose of this meeting here today is to give you some information on the CDBG program, past projects that have been funded in Story County, how to apply, eligibility requirements, how and where funds can be used, and to give citizens an opportunity to work with me and submit ideas for possible projects. So kind of have about the next 3 weeks or so to solicit input, and then we'll come before the Commission for a second public hearing, probably the second meeting in October. The state is doing things a tad differently this year, and they're requiring us to put in a pre-application. So that's due either November 15th or 17th, and then we'll submit that, and then they come back to us and tell us, yes, this is an eligible project. You can move forward with submitting an application. So depending on what ideas we get, we'll run that past them, and then a final hearing will be held to discuss, approve, and rank applications. We get to submit 2 applications to the state, and that'll probably be done at our first meeting in December. The grant is due typically the first week of January. So CDBG has been around here in the state for many years. In Story County, since the early 80s, we've been receiving money from them. This is a grant program that is administered through the Nevada Governor's Office of Economic Development. It has moved around over the years in different state departments, but it's sat here for the last few years. And they administer what is called the State and Small Cities Community Development Block Grant Program. Funds from this program are federal funds. They come from Housing and Urban Development, which is known as HUD. And CDBG focuses on projects basically for 3 different goals here. The development of suitable living environments, to provide decent housing, and the creation of economic opportunities in rural parts of the state. And that third one there, economic opportunities in rural parts of the state, is the number one focus for community development block grants in Nevada. That is a shift in what we've seen over the years. We've used CDBG for various projects here in the county. The most recent one was the acquisition of an ambulance for the River District. We work with the Story County Senior Center for some kitchen and transportation improvement projects, getting them some new kitchen equipment there and some repairs to the 2 vehicles that they have. We did significant upgrades to ADA access at our swimming pool here in Virginia City. We've worked with the RSVP and their rural transportation program. We've done upgrades to our Virginia City and Gold Hill sewer system in the way of SCADA updates. That's our computerized system. We funded a countywide flood plan back in 2010. We've done some work to help the Canyon GID in their wastewater reconstruction phase back quite a few years ago. So CDBG has been a very important part in funding a lot of significant infrastructure-related projects here in the county. And with the shift to economic development, it just brings a little bit different dynamic to the program, and we have to tie back our requests to job creation. So it is a little bit of a challenge, and we're not the only county kind of trying to wrap our hands around this and decide how are we going to do this, because we have to show the jobs are going to be created. So whereas we used to be able to make ADA improvements to our swimming pool, we didn't have to show jobs were created. That's an automatic benefit to our citizens and folks who come to use our facilities. Now we actually have to show that we're going to create jobs from projects. So it's just a whole new spin on things.
Created to install that equipment.
And that's how you have to get down to it. That's kind of the focus that we're really having to draw down to, is showing that, construction jobs for these different kinds of projects. So it used to be the makeup of the advisory committee. I know Story County served. I did for several years in the their advisory committee. So we would sit down, we'd review all the applications, we'd call in the different counties to present their projects, and then we'd rank those. They've changed that now. It's economic development folks. Last year was the first year on that. It was considerably different than, of course, what we're used to. Like I say, they're making these changes and really focusing on that economic development, so they've brought in folks from regional economic development authorities throughout the state. So with that being said, I, of course, would entertain any ideas that the public may have, and I'm asking for those ideas to be submitted to me, and feel free to reach out via phone, via email by October 5th. And then we'll have some time to kind of look at those and see how we can, how they could apply to the particular program. And then at the October 18th commission meeting, we'll present the recommendations that we've received to the commission. And then you can approve those, so we can move those forward to what I called a pre-application process. So we'll send those to the state, and they'll tell us, yes, that's eligible, go ahead and submit the full application, or no, it's not. And then we have an opportunity between that time and December 6th, I think it is, our December commission meeting, to kind of really flesh all that out. So if anyone has any questions for me right now, I'm happy to try to answer those.
Do we know how much money they've allocated?
Approximately $2.4 million, and that's pretty much holding steady. Keep in mind that there is some funds that come directly off the top of that for program administration at the state level. So kind of when it gets down, it's right around $2 million is kind of what we're looking at, and that goes across all counties and cities with the exception of Clark, Carson City, and City of Reno. Most every other county and city in the state come out of this same $2 million pot of money. So it's very competitive.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Keeping in mind that this is economic development, Austin and I attended a day-long retreat last Friday for the Northern Nevada Development Authority, which is trying to take a stronger role in their portion of Story County. They have everything but the river district, if you will. I would suggest maybe you sit down with Austin and I, and we kind of share with you some of our notes from Friday. On a couple of potential projects, and one in particular is it became very apparent the strong role that Western Nevada College plays in workforce development, keeping in mind that, and I can't remember the exact rate, it was some incredible rate of close to 50% of our current or last year's graduating class graduated with a two-year AA degree the week before they graduated from high school with their Fast Start, Quick Start, Jump Start program. I mean, an amazing result in partnership with WNC. And while Carson City may be a disqualifier, WNC serves more jurisdictions than just Carson. It serves us, it serves Douglas, it serves Lyons, so it might be a chance to co-opt and work together for the power of them. And their new dean or interim dean seems to be an amazing guy, Chet or something like that, Cliff. But Austin and I would be happy to sit down with you and maybe have you reach out to somebody like that.
Okay, that's an excellent idea, definitely. And that's another one of the governor's project is, of course, you know, the education, their component. So great, great idea.
Any questions for Sherry?
No.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Sherry. Mm-hmm. Next up is item number 10. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of resolution 16-446, setting forth the intent of Story County, Nevada, to reimburse out of bond proceeds the cost of certain projects related to the Virginia Divide sewer system, replacement of wastewater collection lines in Virginia City, and Gold Hill with a loan of $4,058,000. And a grant in the amount of $8,987,000.
All right, Sherry Nevin again for the record. Sorry, I didn't forgot this was coming up right here next. So what you have in front of you today, of course, as Commissioner McBride mentioned, is a resolution setting forth the intent of Story County, Nevada, to reimburse out of bond proceeds the cost of certain projects related to the Virginia Divide sewer system, replacement of wastewater collection lines in Virginia City. This is just allowing us as a county to finance out of our funding pre-construction related costs related to this project. So basically preliminary engineering, design. We've had a considerable amount of archaeology work that's gone into this, being that we are in a National Historic Landmark. We've had the whole environmental mix on there. So this is just this resolution here is allowing us to use our county funds in the meantime before the permanent loan kicks in to finance these. It won't be any construction cost we shouldn't be dealing with. It'll just be these pre-construction type related costs. So,
okay.
This is a tad different than the first phase when we had to go out for interim financing. We don't have to go out for interim financing on this part of the project. We're going to do things a tad bit differently. Hugh's going to speak a little bit to some great news that we received a couple weeks ago when we met with USDA in relation to the very low interest rates that we'll be realizing with this project.
Mr. Chairman, again, for the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. The initial interim finance originally on this project on the first and second phase was through Wells Fargo. And what we accumulated there was fees and interest from the beginning of that project all the way through. We had felt that we would be able to get the interest payment as we drew the funds. However, Wells Fargo was not very intent on doing that. This next thing is that we self interim finance. The original limit or level that I saw in some of that paperwork was $1.8 million. That has been drastically reduced to about $250,000. And get this, it gets reimbursed through the grant. Through an IRS ruling that says that that the use of proceeds of exempt bonds to reimburse counties prior to the issuance of those bonds. Now there's some exceptions to that, just like there is with any IRS rule. But so far, the archaeological studies and everything that we have through Bond Counsel Kendra Follett indicates to us that it's a good expenditure, and so we're going to go forward with that. So USDA has no problem with it. Our bond council has no problem with it. So I think this is a great avenue to go. We didn't have I don't think we had this ability when we did this through the first iteration of the sewer deal. Except now it does, and I think if we take advantage of it, we save ourselves some money.
Good. Anytime we can save money, it's a good thing.
Did we go over the rate drop?
He was going to, after you approve this, we'll talk about the rate drop, or we can talk about it now.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Right now, the committed rate is 2.125% on this. The next rate adjustment is going to be December 9th, which they believe the interest rate will go to 1.375%. There may be, this of course depends upon the election, but they're pretty confident with that. And so at least we have the resolution done, we can then apply based upon what we think that's going to be. That's just a terrific rate. I mean, either one of them is a terrific one.
Yeah.
For the water project, I'm going to throw this out. It's about 1.875% if we want to do anything on the water thing. And with community facilities, up until December 31st, the interest rate is 2.375%. So that we need to talk of this because I know County Manager Witness, they got his foot on the pedal already. But it's super stuff. I mean, I think it's something to take a look at, something that we can prioritize it before December, or at least get what we want to do, get it submitted, and I think we're going to realize some real value out of that.
May I chime in? Sure. I think it's really important, not including the water project or Justice Court or anything else that we may or may not come to you to potentially take advantage of, but we focus. It's great to focus on $9 million worth of grant money. Thank you, Sarah Adler and USDA. But for purposes of a conservative fiscal government, we need to focus for the moment on $4 million plus dollars in loans, even at a greatly reduced, unbelievable rate. In the interest of full disclosure, we've chatted about this before conceptually. Now we're getting down to signing the docs, doing the deal. We periodically, and I don't know how current we are on this, we do rate studies in the area of water and sewer, keeping in mind this is really just a sewer loan at this stage. And I'm sure, as Mike will agree, we've cranked the rates up over the past 5 and 6 years for two primary reasons. One is we hadn't done it in 15-plus years, I don't think, or at least something along those lines, and we were way out of whack. And number two is to cover debt service on the initial loan that got us the plan. Raising those rates again right now are not an option. Looking at our friends from Lockwood, we closely follow what your rates are. And as we watch those rates, we know we really need to be at or around you, not substantially higher. So as you begin to go down to actually incurring this debt, the source of payment will not probably come from continual rate increases. It will be a combination of factors. Initially, we would propose to you that the quarter cent infrastructure tax, portions of the quarter cent infrastructure tax, be dedicated toward debt payment. I believe our initial analysis is we have consistently generated more than enough to cover that, even at the higher 2.3 rate. So we would take portions of that and allocate, keeping in mind this debt is spread out over 40 years. And then as rates can be adjusted competitively and fairly, comparing it to Carson City, to Dayton, to Canyon, and to those other areas that we monitor, we would blend that out of potentially infrastructure and more over to the ratepayers. But there's just no way the ratepayers right now can sustain the small number of ratepayers, even at a reduced rate on $4 million, is not going to work. So that's kind of the message.
Right. So why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and read the resolution, and then we'll take public comment. How's that?
Sounds good.
Did you want to read it, Sarah?
The entire thing, all right.
Do we have to read the whole book?
No, just a recommendation.
Can we read
the title?
Just the title?
How long it is. Yeah, my understanding is we just read the title.
Good for you.
My understanding is it's just the title.
Okay.
So,
approval of Resolution 16-446, setting forth the intent of Story County, Nevada, to reimburse out of bond proceeds the cost of certain projects related to the Virginia Divide Sewer System, replacement of wastewater collection lines in Virginia City and Gold Hill, with a loan in the amount of $4,058,000.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Under the internal, one more thing, under the Internal Revenue Code Regulation Section 1.150-2, providing certain details in connection wherewith the, and providing the effective bond date hereof.
Okay. Take public comment on this now.
And you see the recommended motion?
Pardon me?
You see the recommended motion. Never mind.
Can you make that after public comment?
If I hear he's interested in commenting on this, I'm going to comment on
discussion.
It. It's a.
No, it's not.
This is a great deal for the county. Traditionally, we don't believe in pork barrel spending funding, but at this point, this is one way where we see that some of these tax dollars that we send to Washington get to come back to the county for very good use. This money isn't being wasted in any means. So I think that they're actually going to give us a grant of almost $9 million. It's outstanding.
Yeah, you know? Especially those interest rates.
I mean, to borrow $4 million is an awful lot of money, but to think what the end result is of having a new sewer system throughout the greater Virginia City Goldfield area. Did you want to weigh in, Madam DA?
No, I just wanted to make sure you saw the recommended motion if you felt that way about it.
I usually leave that up to Lance. So.
I know.
Once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment.
I do have one additional thing, and I want to recognize somebody who's sitting back in the audience. I think we've been working this project maybe almost as long as the postal zip codes in some respects, and we hadn't gotten anywhere. It was really ugly when I found out with BLM that we were supposed to have submitted an application with a $100 fee, only to find out we submitted a piece of paper with our name on it that basically said we want this. Thank God for Mike Nevin. We all know Mike is retiring at the end of this year, but I have managed, I hope to convince him, even though we haven't signed quite a contract yet, but I have managed to convince him that he really needs to see this project from cradle to grave, so to speak, and he's going to oversee the project post-retirement on an independent contractor's basis. So he'll be the county's representative, and I'm excited because while Hugh and Sherry certainly know the details of the financing and the money, Mike definitely knows what happens when we flush the toilet or pull the string on the plug. So rest assured it'll be overseen in its entirety in good hands. And thank you, Mike.
Okay. Well, that's it. I'm going to look for a motion for approval. And, of course, you know what the recommended motion is, right, Mr. Gilbert?
I think I can bind it. Yep. Actually, I was going to read here off of the motion that was attached to the agenda. I'm going to move to approve Resolution 16446, setting forth the intent of Story County, Nevada, to reimburse out of bond proceeds the cost of certain projects related to the Virginia Divide Sewer System, replacement of wastewater collection lines in Virginia City and Gold Hill, with a loan of $4,058,000 and a grant in the amount of $8,987,000.
I'll second that motion.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 16-446. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Moving up next to item number 11, this is discussion of possible action, appointment of Story County representative and alternate representative to serve as a voting member on the governor-appointed Nevada State Land Use Planning Advisory Council, SLUPAC, for a three-year term, 2016 through 2019 term. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the agenda language is pretty self-explanatory. It is appointment to a state planning commission. I've been serving on this since 2008, and it's basically an advisory board for the governor's office and state lands that goes quarterly across the state and does planning-related issues.
All right. So this is going to appoint you as and Mr. Van Hevel as the alternate?
Correct.
Is that correct? Very good. Any public comment? Good enough. And at this time, commissioners, I get a motion to approve the appointment.
I'll move to approve in accordance with the recommendation by staff and is accepted by the Nevada State Governor's Office. I, Lance Gilman, hereby approve reappointment of Planning Director Austin Osborne to serve as a voting member of the State Nevada State Land Use Planning Advisory Council, SLUPAC, and appoint an appointment of Planner Jason Van Hevel to serve as the alternate voting member on the SLUPAC board for the three-year term of 2016 through 2019.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved to second for the appointment of the representative and the alternate. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next up is item number 12, discussion of possible action. This is special use permit 2016-023. By John and Elizabeth Huntington. The applicant requests a variance for reduced setback to 0 feet from the required 8 feet side setback and 20 feet rear setback for the placement of a proposed garage on the property located at 166 Southeast Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN 001-141-08. I see Mr. Collins is in the office. You're here to represent the Huntingtons today?
Yep, Mr. Collins does.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and go through the process, but I need to point something out. The agenda language here says this is a special use permit case number. This is a variance case number. It is a similar type of thing. In the Planning Commission, it was posted as a variance. A variance is essentially a variance to the Story County Code addressing setbacks. I think that the fact that the agenda language is clear on what we're doing here, the Planning Commission action was consistent with a variance, and all of the staff report and everything, and here it is posted as a variance and explains what we're doing, is my opinion that we'd be able to move forward, and I'll go ahead and do my presentation.
I don't. I think that I agree with Mr. Osborne's recitation of the fact that this was presented as a variance at the Planning Commission stage. If you look at the content of the agenda item, it talks about the applicant requesting a variance, and the documents that are attached thereto, again, looking as if that is, they've got a variance number in there, so I think that everything's fine.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Collins is here to represent the applicant. If he has any questions or concerns or would like to clarify anything, I'm certainly welcome him up. If he's fine, I'll go ahead and present. It's a pretty simple project. This is down at right to the abutting of Hugh Gallagher Elementary School down on D Street. It's at 166 Southeast Street. The owner of the property right now, they have a corner lot down there, the Huntingtons, and they want to build a garage at the southwest corner of the property. And what they'd like to do is not build it where they have to have 20 feet from D Street setback, and they require 8 feet from the school setback. They would like to be consistent with the existing uses in that area. The school is a zero setback, and they would like their garage also to be a zero setback. One thing I should also point in the area is about 2014, the Planning Commission and our team went through a process that this board approved was a zero residential setback area for the downtown areas of Virginia City. We worked on that boundary following most of the commercial uses. It's kind of a jagged line that follows particular properties along that area. And it went around this property because this property is primarily residential. And it included the school because it is a commercial or a public type of use. So by allowing a zero setback to D Street, actually would create a more consistent feel and a more consistent use along that stretch of D Street, allowing a zero setback, meaning you have consistent buildings abutting each other and up against the street with each other. And across the street and to the other sides is also already allowed to have zero setback without any type of variances or Planning Commission review. So that is the reason we're recommending approval of this, and that was one of the findings of the Planning Commission as far as also recommending approval. The existing structures on the property, they're residential and garages. They're zero setback, but they've been here forever, and they're legally nonconforming. So, it's kind of supporting that existing pattern in that area that's typical of Virginia City. And so really the request is to build about a 1,050 square foot garage, and again, zero. There would still be 5 feet between the school and the building because there's an existing sidewalk there on its north wall, and where that sidewalk is where the property line also is, and the Huntingtons did to go ahead and have a surveyor, not necessarily record of survey of the entire property, but at least establish pins on that boundary to make sure what we're doing isn't on the neighbor's property, which would be the school. And then the conditions that would come along with this proposal would be to stabilize a slope. There's a little bit of grade separation between the school and the proposed garage, and there would be some slope stabilization actually that would be created by allowing this garage to be built where it is. Right now the sidewalk is kind of hanging in midair because of the ground below it's gone. And then he'll also have to do some barriers along D Street, nothing in particular, but just something to help prevent vehicles from falling off the road. And then the Story County Fire District will probably have some building requirements as far as firewall, Class A roof, things like that, that would go along with this. That's it.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
I have a question.
Go right ahead.
Austin or Jim, is this occurring, the zero setbacks apply to the western and southern boundaries of this property?
Correct.
How? Any estimate as to how far our setback is to the eastern boundary of this property?
The eastern boundary, well, the setback is required 20, and I think there's probably about 70 or 80
okay,
right now.
Good. That would have been my only concern as we someday may still see a tunnel.
Yeah, this is not near that. It's the opposite.
It's on the opposite end. That would be it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Once again, public comment.
There are recommended conditions on page 11, and there are findings on page 10. And whenever you make a motion, I'd be happy to read whatever findings are consistent with that motion.
Is your recommendation to recommend conditions or to just do the findings?
It is a recommendation would be to allow the zero west and the zero south setback, and that would come with the conditions on page 11.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions?
Nope.
Okay. Go ahead, you want to read it?
Sure. I'm reading on page 10. It's section 6 of the staff report. I'm going to read them verbatim. Finding 6.1, motion for approval. The findings listed in this subsection are the minimum to be cited in an approval or approval with conditions. The following findings are evident with regard to the requested variance when the recommended conditions in subsection 7 are applied. At a minimum, an approval or conditional approval must be based on the following. 611, that because of the special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including shape, size, topography, or location of surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity under identical zoning classification. And 612, that the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant. And 613, that the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect or materially degrade the health or safety of persons residing or working within the area of the subject property, and will not materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property or improvements in the area of the subject property. And 614, that the proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. And 615, the proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 1703-140 variances and 1730 commercial residential zone when all conditions of approval are met. And 616, last, the proposed variance is in compliance with and supports the goals and objectives and policies of the 2016 Story County Master Plan. The recommended motion is on page 12 under section 9.1.
You don't need to read the conditions of approval.
Okay. Oh, no, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Once again, I'll ask for any public comment. Hearing none. Okay. Commissioners?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Because I'm under the employment of Mr. Collins, who has a monetary stake in this, I will abstain from voting on this motion.
All righty. So, Mr. Gilman, if I can get a motion to approve this variance, citing the findings and the recommended conditions on number 7.
Thank you. I'll take just a minute to give a shout-out to our Planning Commission. I attended the Planning Commission meeting when they reviewed this issue, and very professional presentation from Jason and Austin, and I think that it take a moment to thank those planning commissioners for doing such a great job for this community and this commission, and so I'm very comfortable with making this motion. So in accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings under Section 6.1 of the staff report, and other findings deemed appropriate by the County Commission, in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, recommend approval of conditions for variance number 2016-021 for a reduced front setback down to 20 feet from the required 30 feet front setback.
Mr. Gilman, we're on the next agenda item on that one, so...
I got the wrong setback?
I think so. You have the wrong application in front of you. Here you go.
You're just pick it up by the variance number. The variance number 20.
Is it?
That's the one.
Is it
no,
zero
thank
two
you very
hundred?
Much.
Is it 02?
So, recommend approval with conditions for variance number 2016-023 for a reduced setback to 0 feet from the required 8 feet side setback and 20 feet rear setback for the placement of a proposed garage on the property located at 166 Southeast Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN 001-141-08.
Very good. I'll second your motion. Move to second to approve special use permit 2016-023. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along to item number 13.
And Mr. Chairman, before we begin item number 13, maybe to give time for the siren to go off and also time for the applicant and I to speak for a moment, may I ask for a 10-minute recess?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead and recess for 10. Thanks, Jim.
So that's a variance and he has special use permit on that one too, so we'll collect that on the